story.
A couple of things. Couple of points. Yeah. Right, let me just review at one point. As we said last week in the Ramban, we had an interesting theme there in the Ramban. The Ramban, right, has a very unusual formulation, if we read them correctly, which I think we did. Because the Ramban learns, Ramban's kasha was that Rav Huna's statement was that the psilos and shmanim that you can't use for Shabbos, you also can't use for Chanukah, bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. So Ramban raised the old question, how does Rava, and then Rava said that what does Rav Huna hold? Rav Huna holds Kavsa Zakakla. Right? Kavsa Zakakla. Meaning that if it goes out, you have to relight it. So, and then he says, and also Rav Huna holds Asur L'shtamish Liora. That we know that Rav Huna holds it's Asur L'shtamish Liora.
Doesn't he hold Mutter L'shtamish Liora?
I'm sorry, Mutter L'shtamish
Liora. Mutter, right, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And he holds Mutter L'shtamish Liora. So the question that all the Rishonim raise is, how did Rav know Mutter L'shtamish Liora? Since Kavsa Zakak law, in other words, if the law is, you have to relight it, which, well, let's just learn straight now, okay? Rashi is problematic. I mean, I think I gave Agav Orch, I quickly gave a pshat in Rashi last week, which I think is right, but plain reading of Rashi is difficult. But the most Rishonim learn, Kavsa Zakak law simply means that you have to produce a Ner Dalak. So, if it should go out, you have to relight it. You can't rely on just the fact that you did a Maisa Hadlaka. It's more than a Maisa Hadlaka. You need a Ner Dalak. So the question is that, so therefore what? So therefore they hold, since the Chiyuv is to produce a Ner Dalak, so once you tell me it's a certain condition, it's a certain state, so you can understand logically that you have to use the best shmanim and psilos, because that will register if the mitzvah is a certain state. See, if the mitzvah is just a mais hadlaka, then it makes no sense. Because if you just have to produce a mais hadlaka, what do you need superior shmanim and psilos for? It makes no, right? It doesn't fit into the category, categorically. It doesn't fit into the concept of Mais Hadlaka to require superior wicks and oils. But if you hold it's a state that it should be mudlak, that it's the state of Duluk, so insofar as Shmanim and Psilos produce a superior Ner Duluk, that makes sense. Then you can understand it.
Can I ask you a question on what you just said?
Okay.
Even if you hold it's a halacha and a maisa hadlaka, why couldn't it be that you demand superior wicks? Because
you could demand anything you want. It wouldn't be a necessary thing.
No, but don't we maintain that it's necessary, even according to the side that says kafsa ein zakakla, we still demand it use a certain shear of oil.
That's a different halacha.
Oh, it's not a halacha because...
That's a different halacha. That's a halacha because you have to light... The Mais Hadlaka has to be a Mais Hadlaka of a Ner Chanukah.
Okay, good. So why can't you say the Mais... So you're saying it has to be Roy to last a certain shear?
No, that's not logical anymore. That's a characteristic. That makes no sense.
So you're saying according to the size it says Kasa Ein Zakakla, the amount of oil is just... That's the definition of Ner Chanukah.
Right. That's a Ner Chanukah. You have to light a Ner Chanukah. You can't light a... a Ner Shabbos, you can't light a Ner Stam, it's a Ner Chanukah. What's the definition of Ner Chanukah? It's a Ner that has a certain potential. That's all.
And the wick isn't a component to that potential? I mean, if it's a bad wick, it's not going to last long.
That'll burn for that amount of time, that it could draw oil for that amount of time, which I assume any wick can. since the definition of wick is that it doesn't burn from the thing, right? It's burning the oil.
I mean, we just don't have to be worried about a chashash.
No. 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 So if you hold it's a ner dolok that you require, so then you could say, then becomes very understandable that you require superior wicks and oils. That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay? Rashi, I told you, Rashi has a different shot there. Rashi says a little bit something different. Okay? But I'm not so interested in Rashi right now. But, matter of fact, there's a big, a big mavocha when it comes to Rashi. Take a look at the Beis Halevi has a big problem with Rashi. He doesn't understand Rashi. Big problem. I think my pshat last week answers the Beis Halevi's kasha. But if you want, I'll come back to it in a minute. So anyhow, so the Ramban, so coming back to the problem. So now, if you hold Kavsa Zakuk law, that idea alone will explain why you have to use good wicks and oils all Shemonis Yimei Chanukah. You don't need, where do you get another reason from? How does he know Mutalish Tamash Leora? There's nothing, it doesn't make sense. You already have explained with the first factor. So he should have said, that's it, I'm done. Kavsa Zakuk law. That's Rav Huna's reasoning. How did he know to say, and he holds Mutalish Tamash Leora? Maybe he holds also a Shtamash Yara. How do you know what he holds?
Tosfos answers the question,
yeah,
right?
Know. Okay. Okay. Okay, so that, but that's the kasha. That's the kasha. So the Ramban has an amazing explanation. The Ramban's explanation basically was that since on Shabbos it's impossible to be Zakuk law, so even the Manda Amar, right, because he can't relight it on Shabbos, so even according to the Manda Amar holds, Kavsa Zakuk law will agree that the Hadlaka for Shabbos, Kavsa ain't Zakuk law. Right? Yaakov, am I right? That's what he says. Amazing thing. He says that mandama will agree. It'll be a ledivrei hakol. The hadlaka of erev Shabbos will be a din of kavsa ein zakuk law.
Why can't he just say you're an ones? Why does he have to go that? I don't see why the Ramban has to go that direction. Why can't he just say?
Oh, okay.
On Shabbos you're an ones, and that's why he can. In other words, you should be consistent. The din is halacha kavsa zakuk law, but if you're an ones, then that's it.
You're right. Good question. Furthermore, I mean, altogether, you don't understand, because if you tell me that according to Kofsein Zakuk law, it's a concept that the Chiyuv, it's a Chiyuv on the Gavra to simply do a Maisad Laka. So what are you going to tell me when it comes to Erev Shah, and according to the other, and according to Kofsein Zakuk law, the Chiyuv is to produce a Ner Dalak. So you're going to tell me 7 days a week the mitzvah is formulated one way. One day out of the Chanukah, it's formulated a completely different way. I mean, that's wild. That's unbelievable. I mean, that's as strange as it could be. Right? I mean, it's just... You can't believe it. Hold on 1 second. That was Rebbe. So what he called? It's an unbelievable thing, right? So we said, and I think we said well, okay... We said that no. We said that the machlokas kavsa zakuk law, kavsa ein zakuk law is different according to the Ramban. We said that even according to the Manda Omar, kavsa zakuk law, it doesn't mean that the mitzvah is a ner dalak. It doesn't mean that. Rather, what we said is that even according to the Manda Omar holds kavsa zakuk law, he also agrees that the chiyuv is a maisad laka. But he maintains that the machayev of the hadlaka is the absence of a Ner Dalek. In other words, when Zman Chanukah arrives, whatever all that is, Shkia, Tseis, whatever that is, okay? When that Zman arrives, until the end of Ad Shetich L'Regel Menashuk, if there is no Ner Chanukah, you know, B'Pesach Habayis, that absence is Machayev in a Maisad Laka. It's not just the Yom itself that's Machayev, but it's the absence of a Ner Dalek that's Machayev in a Maisad Laka. But the only thing is, on Shabbos, where that would be an impossibility, so there they changed the Machayev. They just said that you're Machuyev Erev Shabbos to do a Maisad Laka. And, you know, Kesara Sarah. Whatever will be, that's what will be. So it's the same din of Maisad Laka, but they altered what the Machayev is of the Hadlaka. And according to the Mandav Kafsa Ein Zakakla, of course, he holds the regular way, that just simply the Zman is Machayev and a Mais Hadlaka, and that's it. And if you do the Mais Hadlaka, you Machayev the Mitzvah and Gamarnu. That's the Machlokas. That's what we said.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you say the absence of the Ner Dalek is the Machayev and a Mais Hadlaka,
yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that, because, like, for example, let's say that, you know, the Zman were a Machayev for a Maisa Halakha. So, but once you do that Maisa Halakha, so you've discharged your Chiyuv. So when you say that, when you say according to this side, the absence of a Ner Dalek is Machayev a Maisa Halakha, you're also saying that even if you've already done that Maisa Halakha, you can have a new Machayev, right? That's what you're saying.
You have a new Machayev?
Isn't that what you're saying? Because you're saying that even though you've already done it...
I don't know what you mean, a new Machayev. It's the same Machayev that's just not... doesn't function. The Machayev is always there.
What I don't understand is that, let's say the formulation of the halacha was that the Zman is a Machayev, a Maisa halacha.
Right.
And you perform that Maisa halacha, and it goes out.
Yep.
So according to that formulation, wouldn't you have to do another Maisa halacha?
According to which formulation?
The one that I just said.
What
that the Zman is Machayev the Maisa Halakha.
No, that's Zman. That's it. It's a one-time Chiyuv.
Because you've done that during that Zman.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to understand. So since you're saying it's the absence of the Ner Dalek, so that Machayev can express itself over and over again?
That's right.
Whereas
that's
if right. It's Zman, it can only express itself once?
Yes.
Can you explain that point? Why should that be different like than that? That's what I don't understand. Why can't you say, why is it impossible logically to say that the Machayev is Zman? So the Zman is, let's say, Shkia until Hachetech Horego Minashok.
Let me ask you a question. How do you understand any mitzvah then?
Exactly.
No.
So the way I understand a mitzvah, is that you're right, there's a Machayev, but it's Allah and the Gavra in the sense that once you do the action, so your Chiyev is discharged. That's my question, and that's why I don't understand your formulation, because if the Machayev is the absence of Ner Dalek,
right.
Fine, that makes sense. But once you do the Maisa, shouldn't that discharge your Chiyuv?
No, I'll tell you why. No, I'll answer to you. I can answer you logically. Because if you tell me it's the Zman, right?
Okay.
So that means that the Zman is demanding a certain performance to be related to that Zman. So once you do that performance, then you have imparted, so to speak, that performance into that Zman. In other words, it's related now. Now that Zman now has that performance related to it. But if you hold it's an absence, the absence is reappearing again. It's a new absence.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I got it.
That's how I understand it.
Okay.
Whether I'm right, I don't know, but I understand it. I think it's a logical thing. I think about it, you know. But
Because you're saying that you could have a new absence, but you can't have a new Zman.
That's right.
That's a good point.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's an unbelievable Ramban. I mean, I'm not, you know. I'm not too surprised that the Sfarah sounds a little shocking, because the Shita is shocking. I mean, I don't know of another Rishon who answers the problem. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable Ramban. I just think it's an unbelievable Ramban. And the truth is, like you said right away, I mean, nobody else learns it that way. Tosis, none of them else understands it that way. They learn it very almost shot-like in a way.
Yeah, Tosa's answer is kind of funny.
It is funny. It's not so simple, I don't think.
No, because he doesn't answer the question. He just, so what if you show me a diuk? Even if you show me a diuk in the Lashon that he says both, bein b'yom bein b'shabbos, it doesn't matter, because logically, why shouldn't it be taken that way?
I know.
That's
I know.
What's weird.
I didn't really, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to it that carefully. There's a part of one of the Rav Shiurim where he is bothered by the Tosas. He's trying to grapple with that problem, that very problem. He wants to work out a whole thing there, but it sounded a little kind. He himself said. He says, what I'm saying is not only complicated, he says, I'm just not sure about it. You know, he started, but it's not clear to me, so I'm not going to say it over. But he wants to try to work out logically, and then the Dia complements the logic.
Uh-huh.
But, he has a whole formulation that even quite the Rav Huna, I mean, I can give you the basics. I mean, even quite the Rav Huna, there's a concept of a Maisa Dlaka too. There's Maisa Dlaka, there's a technical Maisa Dlaka, then there's a Kiyam of Howl the Hodoya through a Ner Daluk. Hey, he's got a whole complication there. You know? But I don't know. I'm not so sure. Yeah. It's reading a lot into Rav Huna there. You know? He himself said it with a little element of skepticism there. You know, but he's bothered by it. There's no doubt. I mean, you are bothered by it. You know, so but in any case, yeah. What I wanted to say, but I want to say something about this. You know, it's interesting though, and I don't have an answer to it. I'll be honest with you. You know, on one hand, you know, you're always bothered. I just notice every time I start this sugya. And you always hear it, especially from, I think, especially kids in high school, and I don't blame them for being bothered, is that if you hold kavsa ain zakakla, right? So usually kids are bothered that you're telling me on one hand kavsa ain zakakla, which right away is a very strange shita. Namely, that you're telling me that the chi of gavra is purely to do a maisad laka. It somehow doesn't jive with your understanding that you have to do it during rush hour. You know what I mean? You know, Ner Daluk fits in better when you take into these other considerations. Or even L'Shiura. So you'll tell me that's a Chefta Shel Ner Chanukah, right? Okay, but why is a Chefta Shel Ner Chanukah defined that way? Because it should be lit, obviously, during the time of rush hour. You know what I mean? So it always bothers. There's a certain, I guess, tension there. Like, where did they get this idea of Kavsa and Zakakla from? Now, I mean, you could answer, of course, and say that, look, that's the way sometimes, you know, halakha is formulated. You have to understand that there are reasons for the halakha, but then there's a halakhic formulation. And the halakhic formulation is a maisa dlaka. Right? There's a maisa netilas lulav, a maisa nachas tefillin, a maisa this, a maisa that. That is a maisa dlaka too. Now, of course, should it be lit during rush hour? Yeah, of course it should, but technically it's a maisa dlaka. You know what I mean? So, which is correct. Maybe you can go further. But, I mean, there is a certain halachic validity to just simply saying that. But I was thinking, after what we were, you know, talking about the Ramban last week, what I realize, and I shouldn't just say just what I realized, and I was schmoozing over with Dr. Wolf, you know, what was bothering us is really the other side also. Because when you say Kavsa Zakakla, so now what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is a Ner Daluk, right? So let me ask you a question. So you need a Ner Daluk from Shkia Sachama Ad Shetichla Regel Menashuk. So let me ask you, what happens if it goes out? It goes out for 10 minutes. And then you come back into your living room and you see it went out. So now you relight it. Zochak law. You have to relight it. What about those missing 10 minutes?
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? There's something funny about that. I mean, why don't you say, if you need a ner duluk, and a ner duluk is defined by shkia ad shetishkacham, ad shetech l'regel menashok, so if you don't have the entire zman, it's nothing. Or I'll ask you another way. We know that's the best time to light, but we also hold the ilo adlik madlik. So the truth is you have until that zman to light. So a guy comes home late from work, it's 10 minutes before the end of rush hour, and he lights. So he's going to have a ner duluk for 10 minutes. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know, you guys bothered by it?
Yeah. It's a good question.
I mean, so you could... I mean, you could say...
Shabbos,
like
that you have to produce
Shmisa. Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
What?
That's the premise of the question.
Right.
It's that kind of thing. It's a certain state, and the state should permeate that zman.
Right.
It's like, that's right, it's like an all or nothing, like Shmisa.
Right, you did one
malacha. You do a malacha, it's the end of Shmisa. You can't say you were Shoves today. I'm just bringing it up because everybody's always bothered, like I said, by Kamsa Ein Zakakla. But it dawned on us that Kamsa Zakakla, it might be more problematic from a halachic standpoint.
At least Kamsa Ein Zakakla works out halachically, even though it's not intuitive.
Right, even though it's not as appealing the way most people imagine, you know, what the mitzvah should be doing, but in a halachic sense, it's a much more solid kind of, sounds like a more solid formulation.
Rabbi Bald?
Yeah.
Did you take up the question about Shira, why the Gemara, according to the side that says Shira, why does the Gemara express this man, mitzvasahi mishkia ad shetich l'regel, as opposed to just like shaos manios? Because if it's just a Shira, so it's a funny way to express a shir.
I agree. Yeah, a kid asked me that. It's funny. A kid asked me that today in Shir. A kid asked me in Shir about Shir. I didn't have an answer for him. The kid said to me, he goes, I don't think that's what the words mitzvasa mishatishka chama shtachtechra means. You know? I said, I don't know where you're going with that one. Gemara thinks it could mean that. I said, I don't know how to answer you. You think it sounds more like an adlik modlik? I agree with you. But I don't know, it's not going to help us any, you know? Let's just define it. I mean, I don't know. I hear you. Maybe there's something more to it. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is, though. I mean, why didn't the Gemara just say, Chatzi Shah?
Yeah, like in terms of Shah's Maya.
Just say Chatzi Shah, because right. That's what it really means.
Right.
Or, well, unless... See, I can really answer your question better than I can answer his. Because you, I could say, it didn't say Shah's Mani else because it's going to be different for every place. So could it say Chatzi Shah? It depends on the rush hour. In the time of the Gemara, it's defined by Regel, you know, Regel Tarmadoi. You know, when those people used to come home. In New York, it's different. Boston's different. Baltimore's different. You know, it depends where you live. Yerushalayim is different. I don't know.
I once heard a svar from Rav Pesach that I think could answer that question.
Go ahead.
Because he showed many examples in Shas, but we were doing a sugya by Shehiya, the Psul and Shchita, and it says, you know, what's the zman of Shehiya, of the hesitation? So it says, like, the time it would take you to get a new cow and shecht it. So Rav Pesach showed from that and other areas that in halacha, anytime you have a unit of zman is defined by the framework that you're operating in. So, like, in terms of shlita, a unit of zman is defined by a unit of Zman in that framework.
Okay.
And he gave another example like Haggadah Seidus, Kevon Shehigid Shuvin Achozu Magid.
Okay, I got it.
Like, so over here, maybe you could say that we want a unit of Zman, and the definition of unit Zman in Ner Chanukah is going to be a unit of Pearson. In other words, it expresses it that way because that's the unit of Zman in this framework.
No, yeah, but that's not the kid's question in my shiur today. His question is that it says mitzvasa meshetishka chama. It doesn't sound like it's defining the chafta. That's his point.
Okay.
He had a different kind of question. He's saying if you read that statement, you just read that statement, you would never think that means the size of the candle. That's his argument. You would always think it has something to do with the Maisa Dlaka. I hear him. Hold on 1 second. I just want to go to the bathroom 1 second. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. So anyhow, look, I'm just bringing it up. I mean, getting back to the other question. Let's leave this one alone. I mean, the problem of the Ner Dalek. It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to formulate that. You're going to say that the Chiyuv is what? To produce, not just to do a Maisa Dlaka, but it's to produce a Ner Dalek in the Zman.
Well, according to the Ramban, you don't have this problem, right?
Right, that's right. Yep, the Rabban. Yeah. What did you say? It's to produce a Ner Dalek in the Zman. How long should it be a Ner Dalek? Yeah, see, I don't think you get into a problem again. So why? I mean, Zakak law, because it's like a funny chiyuv. It's like a chiyuv. What? That what? Whenever it's not a ner dalek, you got to make it a ner dalek. There's something funny about it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll tell you, I'm not sure. I want to point out the problem. Well, what's the shear? There's no shear. There is a shear, no shear. I mean, it's funny because you can't light 1 minute to go. Nobody holds it. You know, that's exactly what the Elo Adlik Madlik means. So you see that you don't have to have a Ner Dolok that holds Man. And yet, if you do light it at the beginning of Shkia and it does go out, you have to relight it. Why don't you say, look, I had it. I mean, as long as that Zman is in existence, I mean, that's what you'll say. I mean, it's like not the Ramban's idea that it's the absence, but it's yeah. But then you get into the problem. So why don't you say logically, I produced the Ner Dalek once already?
Yeah, once you say you could have a Ner Dalek that's 10 minutes long because you lit at the end.
I know it's something funny. I know. Yep.
Where's the Kiyum HaMitzvah? At what point?
Yeah, right.
Do you fulfill the mitzvah?
Exactly. Nobody seems to be bothered that you don't have it the whole Zman.
If you didn't relight it.
So I heard the Rav said, you know, he says, I usually try to light between Mincha and Maariv. You know, like the Rambam. You know, like the Rambam according to the Gra. He says, but a lot of times I get busy, something happens, and before I know it, I'm already davening Maariv, and I'm lighting already like Tzeis HaKachavim. He says, I'd rather be lighting earlier, but I can't always pull it off, he said. You know, he started to laugh. But okay. So he missed that first part.
Why can't you use the formulation you had for the Ramban for the other Rishonim and simply say that they don't change the Mechayev doesn't... Why can't you use that same formulation?
Means the absence demands a Ner Dalek.
Yeah.
Not that the absence demands a Maisa Dlaka. I mean, you'd have to say something like that. I thought of that.
Well, we hold Kapsayin Zakukla anyway.
Yeah, I understand. We all come from that. But if you all come from
that. So the rub's okay. It's just.
Yeah. That's true. You're right. But if you all come from Zakuk law, we maybe say that the Kiyum really is a Ner Dalek. But the absence of a Ner Dalek is the Mechayev, not
right.
The Zman.
So you could have. You're right.
That could be. You could say that. You could say that. Yeah. Okay. All right, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I thought was interesting, what I'm about to tell you, I mean, I'm not in any way poskening for anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just sharing, as they say. It's interesting. You know, the Rav mentioned on the shiur I was listening to that Reb Chaim lit outdoors. That Reb Chaim and Brisk lit outdoors, and so did many of the other people in Brisk. And he said, the Rav said he saw it also in Warsaw, that they lit outdoors. So they went against, they held like the Rambam and others against Tosfos, right? Because Tosfos says it's halakha b'fnim b'zman hazeh, right? Which is the way the Ramah has it. That today we light indoors.
Why do we light indoors? It seems to go right against the Gemara.
That's what they did. They switched it.
Who switched it?
Who are they going to say? Goanim, Rishonim, I don't know who. Somebody switched it.
How could they switch it? The Gemara says in the book.
I think Rebbe once said of Svara that because of the concept of sakana, they made a takana based on that idea that in Gullus, universally, until you have, let's say, Mashiach come, you treat it in abstract like there's a sakana, and now the hadlak is indoors. Because you don't measure anymore the particular situation.
Why not? That's a funny thing.
It might be funny, but no doubt that's what they did. There's
right.
No doubt, the people that luck is with them.
Apparently, the Gemara held that a person is able to make a measurement of Sakana.
I understand. But the Rishonim took it away. It seems they did it. I mean, you can't deny it.
Right.
Rebbe once kind of said in Shiur that when we light in that sugya, I think that he said not. I think somebody asked him, so should we light outdoors? So he's like, no.
Right. Right. I know that.
Of course, that was in Shiur also.
And we always debated. I know we always debated whether or not you could do it. You say it was a takana. It sounds like, but.
Isn't the Minhag Yerushalayim to light outside?
Yeah, but that's no Raya, because that's Yerushalayim. That's under a sovereign Jewish government.
Uh-huh.
That's different.
I mean, it wasn't always under a sovereign Jewish government.
And a Hanami, then that'll be the same problem.
So, I mean, pre-48...
I can't tell you, I mean, okay, so maybe Tulsa would tell them to light it indoors.
Uh-huh.
But, I was just going to say that, you know, you could be Yosei both. I mean, you'll forfeit Mahadrim and Mahadrim, so to speak.
Right.
Well, actually, not Tosas Mahadrim and Mahadrim, but at least the Ramah's Mahadrim, Mina Mahadrim. Because, see, what you could do is you could have one light, one menorah outdoors and one light, a menorah indoors. And you'll be Yosei both. You'll have Adlakim Bifnim and Adlakim Bichutz.
Well, we're already forfeiting Tosos as Mahadran and Mahadran the way we do it, aren't we?
And that's correct. No, what I'm saying,
I don't understand your... Sorry, I mean...
You'll forfeit, according to what I'm saying, is you'll forfeit our Mahadran and go back to Tosos, because Tosos Mahadran is just have one set of Neros going 1 to 8.
Right, but you'll still forfeit that, because now you got 2.
Yeah, but I understand.
No,
what do you...
No! Because one's outdoors, one's indoors.
Are you suggesting you'd make a new bracha on each one?
No.
So what are you suggesting then?
I'm saying you make a bracha on one of them. You'll have to choose which one.
Yeah. So then the one that you made the bracha on isn't that the chassidishal mitzvah? How's the other one anything?
What do you mean? You can't. Well, let's say you lit Hanukkah candles without making brachas. You're not Yosei.
So you could light up 100 Hanukkah candles, and each one is that what you're saying?
I am. Yeah, I'm saying that, yeah. Yeah, I am saying that, so. Can't be anything wrong with that.
So,
and then you have to choose which one you're going to make the brach on, okay.
So then why do you even have to forfeit the Ramaz Mahadran Mina Mahadran?
Oh, you mean you light like 40 candles outside?
Yeah, absolutely.
And 40 candles inside?
Absolutely.
I'll evoke at that point something the Rav said. I heard him say it this year. He says, you can't make yourself go crazy. That's a famous halachic rule.
I mean, maybe you could say that you're making yourself going crazy by having to light both, one outside
well,
and one.
You know, you got to decide what's crazy. You got to decide what's crazy. I don't think it's crazy to, when you're dealing with the very, you know, question about the Iker Mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
Because if Reb Chaim lit outdoors, then already you're telling me that someone of the stature of Chaim held that Neri, that what do you call it, Al Pesach Habayis, is still in, you know, still in existence today. So I think that's a serious thing. The only time Reb Chaim, by the way, lit indoors, the Rav said, he says from what he remembers, was when it was inclement weather. Which fits into the Gemara, because the Gemara also admits he could light indoors, and you put it by the, you know, by the chalon that's near the Rishus HaRabim. That's a separate rule. You always maximize the Pirsum. But that's in the Gemara, even the time of the Gemara, even not Shas HaSakana. The Gemara says that. Guy is Dar Balia, for instance. The Gemara says, Meini, right? That's what the Gemara says.
Right.
If he's Dar Balia, he puts it by the thing there. Where's that Gemara? That Gemara is somewhere here. Where's that Dar Balia? Does anybody remember?
Yeah, it's on the same daf.
Oh, here it is. Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Anicha al Pesach Beis on Mibachot. Ema Yad Dar Balia, Meinicha B'chalon. Asmuch, there was just a Rabbim. There it is.
Have you ever taken up the last one there? Did this name is Daya, if it's Sakana?
Yeah, that's Shas Sakana. That's the end. You can't. That means you can't even put it by the window.
And I, what, the Pearson's just to yourself? Is that the
Yeah, that's where they get the idea of Pearson to the Snim.
Uh-huh.
The category exists in the Gemara.
Right.
Because you have to always maximize the Pearson. So the Pearson will only be for B'nai Avayas then. That'll be, I should say, that's the situation of Pearson.
Would you say doing it on the balcony is not as good as doing it by the front door? If you were to do that?
What do you mean doing it by the, what's the balcony?
You got a balcony, it's connected to Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So I have, you know, I have windows by the balcony, so I light in the windows, but I could actually go outside onto the balcony and light, which is outdoors.
Is it a halacha in outdoors or it's a halacha in Pesach Beso?
That's a Pesach. I mean,
what's Pesach Beso then by you?
Well, you come in and you come in on the first floor, but then you go straight up the stairs.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I could do it by the front door, but it's a lot more convenient to do it on the balcony, which is directly above the front door.
If you did it by the front door, would it be outside?
Yeah, I could do it.
And that's your front door?
Yeah.
I mean, according to Reb Chaim, I guess that's the place to put it.
You'd have to do that.
I mean, not Reb Chaim, that's the Gemara. I mean, that's the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam, by the way, doesn't talk about Hadlaka B'Bifnim, other than the fact that there's Mamash HaSakana. The Rambam didn't have this whole formulation that tells us that. He held it's the same halacha like in the time of the Gemara. That's why the Ram still has that Shetichla Regel Menashuk.
What about Aliyah?
Of course he has that.
Isn't that Bifnim?
Yes.
So he does have halacha Bifnim.
Yeah, but Bifnim, but Darba Aliyah means by the Chalona, Smuch L'Rosh
HaSarab. Oh, he means with it, okay.
He also has Bifnim in the Sakana case, and he has all the Bifnim of the Gemara.
Of course. Exactly. I'm saying the Ram is no different than the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tosus that made the big switch. They're the ones who moved the whole Hadlaka Bifnim. It's like a complete switch. They changed the whole formulation.
Isn't that Gemara itself over there very difficult? Because what's this idea of maximizing Pearson? What kind of halachic formulation is that? I mean, if Bifnim qualifies as Pearson, so Mimanav Shach, so who cares if you're able to light Bachutz? That is defined as Pearson. Why should it make a difference to circumstances?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure if I understand the question. I mean, why is that not a formulation? I don't understand. You chayev in a ma'is hadlaka, and that's be a ma'is hadlaka in the best makom pearson possible.
If it's a second best, then it's not.
Yeah. Exactly. If you're capable of that, then it negates any other possibilities. If you can do Pesach Beso, then you have no right to do it indoors. If you can do it indoors by the window, you have no right to put it on your kitchen table. If it's a sakana, then you have no choice. Now you're going to have to do it on the kitchen table. And if it's such a sakana, then you can't even do it on the kitchen table. They're coming into your house to check out if you have it, and you're not allowed a light. By the way, Agav Orchaz, I'll just tell you, the Rav said that, he said that usually he doesn't even light it by his front window. He says because he's too worried about the drapes, that they'll catch fire.
Right.
He says, yeah, that's it. Sakana, forget about it. He wouldn't put it near there.
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't the sakana that Gemara was referring to.
No, of course not. I'm just making a point.
Right.
That you know, people, you know, you're dealing with fire, and you got to, you know, Chachamein of Barosho. You know, I mentioned what the Rav said in Shir today. A whole bunch of guys started to laugh. They said, what's so funny? Turns out one of the kids in my class told me that his drapes caught fire last year. And his parents saw it, and they put it out immediately. He says, you know, God forbid, they wouldn't have seen it. They would have walked out of the room. He says, the house would have been up in like a second, he says. It was so quick how quickly it caught, you know, and they luckily they were able to stop it.
If you hold cups of Zakukla, then it wouldn't be a problem because you're standing there waiting for it anyway.
What's that?
If you hold cups of Zakukla, so then you're standing in the room anyway waiting for it in case it goes out.
No, you're not. No, that's exactly what you're talking about, Rashi?
Well, you don't have to.
That's what we said last week. That was our shot in Rashi. Yeah. That the they could have made, there were two possibilities. That either they could have had a chiyuv that if you hold cups, according to Rashi, cups of zakukla means that you have to be vigilant. You have to be, you can't be a posheya. So either they could have been masakein that you stand there and you watch the thing the whole time, which of course would have been a tremendous tircha. Instead, what they instituted to remove the pshia is that you have to use the best wicks and oils. That's how we said pshat in Rashi. Because Rashi has a very funny formulation there. Right? Rashi is very hard to understand. He says, nit. Ner Chanukah Zokikla L'Sakna. What do you mean L'Sakna? Should have said Ladlika, first of all. And then he says, Hilchach Sarach L'Chil Asos Yofeh Dilma Pasha V'lo M'Sakidla. You know? That was the base of Levi's Kasha. His Kasha was, who are we talking about? A guy who cares about the mitzvah or doesn't care about the mitzvah? If he doesn't care about the mitzvah, so just like he won't relight it, he won't use good wicks and oils either. And if you're talking about a guy who cares about the mitzvah, what do you mean, Dilma Pasha V'lo Masakila? He'll be masakin it, don't worry. That was his kasha. But we're saying it's Rashi means something different. Rashi's saying there were two possibilities in front of Chazal, how to formulate the mitzvah.
Can you say it one more time? Please?
What I'm saying?
Yeah, what you're saying.
I'm saying it means that... In other words, you can't be a posheya vis-a-vis this mitzvah. The mitzvah is really to be have a ner dalak. And you can't be a posheya vis-a-vis a ner dalak. So there could have been two possibilities. One possibility, which is what Rashi's out ruling, is that they would have been mechay of you to stay there and fix it. But maybe Dilma Pasha V'lo Masakila, meaning... You'd walk out of the room. You know what I mean? Not like the Beis Halevi imagines that you'll be standing there, see it go out, and you won't relight it. I mean, you're never talking about that guy. You're talking, I'm learning Dilma Pasha means that if the Chiyuv would have been, light it and then, you know, be a mashkiach, in other words, make sure it stays lit, then it would have led to a pshia. Because a guy might walk out for a minute, he might go to the bathroom, he might go to eat something, who knows what he'll do. So instead, they were misakein the best shmonim of psilos, and this therefore removed the shame posheya from him. That's how I learned the Rashi.
Oh, okay. Are you saying, that just me understand, you're saying that the Dilma Pasha is... is not explaining why you need the right candles. It's explaining why they outruled the other possibility.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Which ultimately explains why you need the...
Right.
It's the replacement.
Uh-huh.
Steelers Hashmonim is the replacement for that possibility.
So why does that explain the Lashon of Tikna as opposed to Lahadlik?
Oh, that's what it means, because if it's halacha in a lit candle, that means you have to have, again, it's a shame, it's a lit candle, means it has to be a properly lit candle. So it means you keep on, you have to be constantly monitoring it and fixing it if it starts to flicker or whatever. It can't lack at any point. It's not just if it goes out.
Uh-huh.
So sakna, you got to keep on making sure that it's a properly lit candle.
Okay.
If it starts flickering, that's not a properly lit candle. That's, it doesn't have to only be lahadlika. Anyhow, I mean, it's, okay. Might be other ways to learn Rashi, but I mean, that's the way I understand it. I mean, the base, I didn't read the whole base of Levi, but I mean, you know, he does, he's bothered by the Rashi. His kasha is good. I mean, you know, the way he asks the kasha is very good. Very
sure. He has a weird answer there, the base of Levi.
I didn't, you know.
Oh, you didn't take the answer?
No. I enjoyed the question, and since I had learned Pshat Rashi already, I felt I had a, that's it. Okay, anyhow. Yeah, the other thing, one other thing interesting, again, I'm not giving sock here, but the Rav had another sharp point, which really is very halacha lemaisa, but I'm not the posek here. Although he paskened it. He said, the old Shaila, what happens if you come home and nobody else is up in the house? Right? You come home 1 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's asleep. What do you do? Okay? So the Achronim, take a look, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. 1 second.
What's the premise of the question?
Oh, because there's no Pearson.
Don't you have Pearson for yourself?
1 second. So it's in the end of Tufresh Ayin Beis. He says, the Mechaber says, Mio im over hazman, meaning Tichla Regal Menashuk, Velo Hidlik, Madlik Maholech Kol Alayla. Okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Ad Amir HaShachar U'Bebracha. V'ayinu dafke im b'nei bayis ne'urim. Avalim yeshenim, ein levarech alayam. Ela yadlik below bracha. Okay? Why? The kamod l'tadu lo yam mevarech ela v'zman pirsum anais. Hachanami l'didan. Meaning now that the hadlak is, I guess he means, is bifnim. So, you have to be mefarsem to somebody. Just like before you were mefarsem to the Rishus HaRabim, so now you're mefarsem to the Bnei Bayis. But if there's no Bnei Bayis, then you definitely can't make with a bracha. Okay?
So it'd be the same if you live by yourself. I mean, not only if they're asleep, but if there are no Bnei Bayis whatsoever. Would that be different?
I hear you. Yeah, I think there's 1 second. Isn't there a Ramah about that later? 1 second. There's a Ramah.
Why do you light, according to the Mishnah Berurah, why do you light all together?
I forgot where it is. I thought there was somewhere. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Well, if you have other B'nai Bias, then you're already guilty anyways. Because they
live. Yeah, what do you do? Right. What do you do if you're a single guy?
But I don't understand the Ramah. Why does he say you light all together if there's no Pearson?
No, it's not the Ramah. It's
Achron. I mean the Mishnah Berurah.
It's the Magen Avraham.
So why do you light all together?
That's a good question. I don't know.
a weird pshara, light without a bracha.
Yeah. See, the Shara Tzion says that according to this Magen Avraham, if a guy lives alone, he says he's going to have to be madlik without a bracha. He says, and we've never seen this in the poskim. And they quote a Meshulta Giborim, in fact, he quotes, that even if he's amongst the Goyim, he has to be madlik. Okay, and definitely with a bracha. So, he says, that's the Minig Olam. He said, I don't know. Then he says, Safek Bracha for Hakel. He says, but whoever wants to be Noe Kivase, like the Shilta Giborim, Eimochim Biyada. Alright, he ends off, he's not sure, kind of. Okay? I mean, he's right. I mean, it'll be an unbelievable thing that anybody who's a single guy, his manazeh, won't be able to light, certainly with a bracha. Will not be allowed to light with a bracha, according to that Magen Avraham.
After this month.
But I will tell you, I mean, I think most people, I believe, if they do come home late at night, they will wake up somebody.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, based on this thing.
Isn't that a separate signal?
A separate what?
Isn't waking up someone like a separate
signal? They have it tonight, and before Hanukkah. If you're living in this house, you get woken up. Okay. All right. It's a separate problem. Okay, I hear you. But the truth is the Rav didn't understand the whole thing. I'll tell you why. He had a nice logical thing here. He said, because if you're telling me, he didn't quote this Mishnah. I mean, I guess he's referring to the Magen Avraham, of course. He said, because their svara is that just like lididhu, it's also lididon. Meaning just like in the time of the Gemara, if there's no more Ovrim Bashuk, so now you get into the... Then if you hold Adlik Madlik, you can only light till Tichla Regel Menashuk. Right? Like Tosa says. And after that Zman, you light without a bracha. Because maybe Lashiur is the other possibility, meaning that's just the definition of the Nair. And really, you could still light all night long. So it's going to be a Machlokas in the two answers in the Gemara. So you light without a bracha. Right? He says, but it won't apply that kind of thinking if you move it indoors. Why? Because there you're telling me you're being madlik for the ovrei drachim. It's dependent on there being ovrei drachim, whether you light. But if you move it indoors, it's a din in the b'nei bias. Well, you're just as much a b'nei bias as anybody else. Once you move it indoors, then you're like everybody else. It's not measured by other people. You are the same quality as everybody else, the people who live in the house. So he said, and he said it's a psak, that if you come home at 1 o'clock in the morning, he says you should light with a bracha, without a doubt. He says that's, of course, if you hold that the hadlak is bifnim. You know what I mean? You're not going to, the Ram wouldn't agree with this. But that's what he said. It's an interesting idea. A logical one.
But the thing, it's kind of funny because now that we're being makel, so to speak, on the halakha of lighting in general, so now it's going to cause us to be more machmir. Right? We're being makel in that we're lighting bifnim, even though the ikar mitzvah would really be to light b'chutz.
You're right. I'll give you another chumra it creates. The size of the candle. Because if you hold it's halakha bifnim, and l'shiura, you hold is now defined by bifnim,
so that's whenever they go to sleep.
So then it should be when the last guy goes to sleep.
Why aren't they going to sleep?
What?
When they're sleeping, they're no longer nevi'ah, or it's no longer a piercing with nevi'ah?
Yeah, there's no more, overage racham in the house. that's why the Rav said it's a good idea. He said, as he's saying the shir, he said, it's a good idea. Now that I think about it, at least one candle maybe should be a yahrzeit candle. He said, this way, you get one candle that goes until whatever, until the last guy goes to sleep, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is.
So,
Rav,
you came to the conclusion, yahrzeit candle inside, and a smaller candle outside, and you're good.
Well, no. I'll tell you why. Not so simple. Because the Rav also holds... No, the Rav also holds that now, Bizman Hazeh, he feels there are three rush hours. There's the rush hour coming home from work. Then there's the rush hour going back out. You know, he called it going to the theater, but I guess we would say really going back out to the mall, shopping and everything. And then you have the final coming back from the shopping or whatever it is. Movies, theater, whatever it may be.
Wouldn't that depend where you live?
What?
Wouldn't that depend where you live?
Obviously.
Yeah, but in New York, it's like... It's
he's saying, you know, typical in most cities.
It's like 10:30.
Right. Let's say in Baltimore. I mean, you look outside, the traffic pretty much comes down to a close around, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's when pretty much you're not going to see anybody anymore.
Pacific.
Obviously, if you live in Manhattan, it might be a very different... you have to figure it out. So, he comes out, you know, unless you say that the svara is that it goes by the primary rush hour, which he was willing to entertain that. He understood that's a possibility. He himself said that he's always been lighting Shabbos candles.
Well, but what do you mean the primary rush hour? Doesn't the Gemara itself have an example of those people who would, what are they called? You know what I'm talking about in the Gemara there?
Yeah, but that's part of the primary rush hour. Because they went home late... Because the people who went home during rush hour would get home and start lighting fires and still would need wood. So they'd go back out to that store to get the wood for the night. So it's still related to the primary rush hour.
Even though it's their second time leaving.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but he wasn't worried about their second time leaving. The Gemara says because that's when the storekeepers come home. You know what I mean? That's when the regal tarmadoi come home.
Right.
Not because the other guys are going back out to get the wood.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're saying. So you see, it's the close of the main rush hour. Now, of course, in the Gemara, that was it. Once regal tarmadoi came home, that's it. There was no more traffic. It's all over then. Their night ended, you know, whatever it was. A half an hour after Tzitzit Kochavim, that was the end of the show. But today, And I heard in Yerushalayim, where did I see it? I don't remember which sefer I saw it, but they quoted the Griz, and the Griz said, you know, look, people go out, people go out, they go to stores, they go to the movie houses, he mentioned. He didn't say you should go to movies, but they do go to the movies. He says, look, I mean, you can't tell me it's not still, you know, Zman Pirsum. It is different. Today's, obviously, today's society and technology makes things different today. But, I mean, the Rav himself says you can go by the first rush hour. Can't make yourself crazy. But, he then said maybe one there should be like a yard site, you know, a long candle. Or he said, or use oil. Because oil, you could obviously, you know, decide how much you're using. He just never liked oil. He found it to be a bad method.
Is there an extra kiyum to use oil?
There's only an extra kiyum to use oil if it burns nicer. The Rav absolutely rejected, he says it on the tape, he doesn't say it by name, but he rejects, like the Maharal Miprag, who says you should use olive oil, because that was the nace in the Mikdash. The Rav said, he didn't say it by name, but he said, that kind of thinking is not found in the Gemara. There's no halacha l'moshim. What his quote was, there's no halacha l'moshim in Sinai to use oil. All the Gemara says is they used oil, olive oil, because mashach nahorat vei. That it drew better. So it made a nice, it was tzolol, it made a nice light as a result. That's the only consideration.
You mean in the Mikdash itself, they only used oil because it was nicer?
I didn't say why. They used the Mikdash because God said so.
So you're talking about the Gemara, the reason why the Gemara says to use oil. Okay.
By Ner Chanukah.
Right, okay.
The Gemara says, one guy says, that's on Daf Chaf Gimel.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shuvan Levi, Kol HaShmanim Kulan Yofin L'Ner, V'Shem Zayas Min HaMuvchar. Amar Abaye, Merei Shava Mahader Mar, Amishcha DeShumshim, the shum shimi. He used to use sesame oil. Amar hay mashach nahoritvei. Gave the shamala lahadar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, mahadar amishcha de zesa. Amar hay tzolol nahoritvei. So it seems he held that shumsh actually drew better, but it ended up that this Shemin Zayas made a clearer light, a nicer light. And that's why he switched to it. Nowhere does the Gemara say, because, you know, Baha'i Ovid Mitzvah, or something like that. There's no such thing. That's the only find it for the first time in the early Achronim. You do not find it in the Rishonim or in the Gemara. And the Rav rejected. Yeah, he didn't go for it. That's it. The Rav himself used Shabbos candles. Whether or not after that year he used the Yahrzeit candle, I have no idea. But he liked the idea. But today, I mean, I use the, what do you call it? I use the olive oil with those floating wicks. I find it works very well. Years ago, it was impossible. I know what the Rav means. Because I remember trying to roll cotton to try to make wicks. It never worked well. It was always a crummy little flame. Never good. But today it's all different. You know, you can get a good, you know. I don't think those metal ones work as well, by the way. I think they end up with a very little flame in the end.
What metal ones?
It's like a metal thing they use for Shabbos candles. It drops in. I don't know. I think the floating wicks work the best. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that's the story. Let me just tell you one last idea, okay? Just I want to point out one last idea, which you guys might know already, but it's an interesting idea, pays to review it. That why is it Asur L'shtamish Liora? So most people think, and they're not wrong, but it's only one opinion, really. And actually, I think it comes out to be a minority opinion. Most of people assume that there's an Isser to be mishtamish laora. In other words, that's really, it's an isser. Meaning, if you walk over to an Ner Chanukah and read from it, or you go over to a, if you don't have a shamus, it's an isser. Meaning, you have an Ner Chanukah, but you're violating an isser because you're being mishtamish with it. That's how most people learn. But if you take a look at Rashi, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The top Rashi, va'asa l'shtamish liora. The Rashi says, shehe nikker shu ner mitzvah. You see that? And then Rashi again later, down the daf, you'll have to find it. It's about two-thirds of the way down in Rashi's. It says, v'i'ika medura. There's if a guy has like a bonfire in his house, like a fireplace. V'i'ika madura eish lo tzarech ner acheres l'fisha mishtamesh l'or ha-madura v'yesh hekeira shaner shol mitzvahi. You see that? Right under where it says gittin pei beis daf yudzayin amud beis in parenthesis in Rashi.
Yep. So it means to say even if you have one little shamash candle and you have eight people in your house on the eighth night, so you got 64 candles of mitzvah and one shamish, so you can still read by it.
Right, but I want to make up one point. According to Rashi, despite the words of the Gemara, Rashi doesn't learn that it's an isser in formulation. But the halacha is that if you don't have a shamash, if you don't have another light in the room, then it won't be defined as a Ner Chanukah. Because if all you have a Neros Chanukah in the room, then they'll be defined as Neros Shel Tashmish. And they won't be defined as Ner Chanukah. You'll be Mevatel Yaseh. Not that you're over an Isser. It's that you'll be Mevatel Yaseh. The purpose of the Shamash is that that becomes the Ner Tashmish, and hence the others are clearly defined as Neros Chanukah. It's a din in defining the Ner Chanukah, according to Rashi. So that, and why does Rashi learn that way? I'll tell you why. It's very simple why. Because Rashi had one question in his mind. If you tell me there's an Isser Tashmish, well, where is that coming from? What is the nature of this candle that it creates in Isser Tashmish?
It's exactly Tosas' question.
Ah, so everybody really knows the other side, which of course is in the Haneras Halalo, because the Neras HaKodesh shame.
The Ron also says it.
Who says that?
The Ron.
Okay.
Because he says it's because of Mikdash. It's supposed to, like, reflect Mikdash.
Yeah, that's based on the Balamor.
Okay.
That's the idea that Neros Kodesh shame. If you say the Neros are Kodesh, then you can understand there's an Issa Tashmish, because you're violating the Kfias, the designation, the Kedusha Saner, right? But Rashi and the other Rishonim didn't buy that formulation. To them, Ner Kodesh is Mikdash. That's not the Ner Hanukkah. So therefore, they didn't learn that there's an Isser Tashmish per se. But rather, they learned it loosely. That it means, yeah, you shouldn't utilize it, but not because it's an Isser by definition, but because you'll be Mavatal, the shame Ner Hanukkah. You'll render the Ner Hanukkah into a Ner Tashmish, and therefore it'll lose its designation as a Ner of Ner Pirsum, or whatever you want to call it. You see, a Ner Shal Mitzvah. That's how they learned it. So I wonder, that's what the Rav said. He says it's a good svar to say, according to Rashi, that regardless whether you're in the room or not, you should make sure you have one, electric light on, at least, to define the Neros Hanukkah as Neros Hanukkah. Because it's not a question of you being over the Isser. It's a question of defining the Ner. So that's what the Rav said. The Rav said he always keeps an electric light on in the same room as the Ner Hanukkah. You know, the Rav didn't use Shamash. You know, he held today, this Shamash is really, ineffective. Because, basically you don't really read by candles anymore like that, So,
why can't your bracha define it as a Ner Shal Mitzvah?
I understand. Okay. Rashi held it's more than just a bracha. It has to be that way in its existence.
But didn't you just show from the Gemara about the Medura that in reality it doesn't have to be like that in terms of existence? That it's possible that you are getting enough from the...
No, the Medura shows the opposite. The Medura shows you that if you have a Medura, you don't need a Shamash. Because you're going to get the light, the functioning light will be the Medura.
Oh, I thought that was Vistel's point. I thought Vistel had a point that if you have like 100 Neros and one Shamash...
I wasn't commenting on...
Oh, you weren't... Okay,
not at all.
Okay.
No. As long as you see that the functioning light is something else, then the Ner Shel Mitzvah will emerge. That's a Rashi Alt. So it could be a Shamash, it could be a Madura, it could be an electric light. Today it makes most sense. I mean, electric light is what it is.
The Shamash has a problem sometimes also, because a lot of people light a little candle lasts for half an hour.
I know, right. That does not really work.
After that,
you're in trouble. First of all, you're in trouble if you go into the room. If you're seeing in the room solely because of the Neros Hanukkah, so if you hold that they're Kodesh shame, you'll be over in Isser. And if you hold like Rashi, you're going to have to run into a big problem that maybe you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah.
Why will you be over in Isser if you go into the
room?
If you leave by it,
example. Yeah, well, what if you walk around, look for a book?
What?
Whatever. If you do any function that could not have been done without the Ner Hanukkah being there, you'll violate that halacha.
That's what I mean. That actually happened one day this week in my house, that I found that somebody left and turned all the lights off, and it was just the Neros Hanukkah.
Right.
And I closed my eyes to find the light switch.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so I guess next week we'll go back to Kedushin. Yud Gimel, right? Yud Gimel on the base.
Yeah.
Rabbi Bald?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know if you want to take it up, but... I was just wondering about Ner Yishu Beso. According to the Ikar Hadin of Ner Yishu Beso, let's say your father lights in the house. Do you have to be around when he lights? You don't have to have any relationship to that lighting, and it's still you can the kingdom of your mitzvah?
Yes, Ner Yishu Beso, exactly. That's exactly the halacha. If you're in China and your wife lights for you in your house, you're yotzei the Iker Mitzvah. 100%. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the Rav also. I mean, I know it's not just Rebbe. I've heard the Rav say it on tapes too. He doesn't know what the Achronim have done to this area. I'm serious. The Rav really is all. I saw him. It's also in the Igros HaGrid. He writes something about it. He's very upset with the Rebbe Akiva Eger. He just doesn't know what they did over here. It's like they changed it around.
Is that the Rebbe Akiva Eger that says you can make a bracha on Mahadran? If you've already made a bracha on the other one?
Oh, I don't know what the idea. No, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about another problem.
Okay.
The whole problem with... I'll have to find it. I don't know. It's one of the chuvas there.
Okay.
One of his, not a chuvas, whatever. His letters to his father. He's very upset, and he writes it, and, you know... And he's right. I mean, if you read the thing, you know, I forgot the topic. It has something to do with... Some do it, Kavana. And it has nothing to do with Kavana, he said. As long as somebody... Yeah, it has nothing to do with Kavana. That the wife has to be Machavit. I forgot what it was. And the Rebbe Kiva wanted to bring this Raya, and then the Rav said, like, you know, ain't a Dumbel any done. You know what I mean? It's just like, it has nothing to do with this area. He didn't know what he was talking about. It's very strange. I mean, the Achronim definitely have messed around. It's something funny. I don't know. Can't tell you.
Can I ask you one more quick thing?
Okay.
Very quick. But the Al HaNisim, the Al HaNisim versus just Al HaNisim. Well, do you know anything about that?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll say either way.
Yeah. Does it make a difference according to anybody if one person lights for the whole house or if everybody lights their own, provided that it's at the right zman?
You mean if one person lights all the candles for everybody?
Yeah, everybody's standing around at 4:30. Does it make a difference? Is it specific that one person should light them for everybody, or that everybody should light their own? Or?
I think that's a question in different... that's a machlagos in the Raman I think certain balitosis, I believe.
But they hold it specific?
And there's the Mahajan that everyone becomes a modlik, or that there's Neros representing everyone? I think that's the question.
So then, but nobody holds that it's better for one person to light them all, then, according to that.
The Ramam.
I think the Ramam does. There's a piece on that. The Griz has a piece on that. There's a Griz. Take a look. There's a Griz in Chanukah about that very point.
That there has to be one Madlik.
That's right. He holds the Rama. He definitely learns the Rama holds there has to be one Madlik.
So you could do that for outside, for the ones you light outside, they'll have one Madlik. The ones you light inside, so
you... Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I remember, I did not paskin a thing here.
No,
I'm serious.
No, the Rav.
Yeah, the Rav paskin.
The Rav didn't paskin. Just quoted Rav Chaim.
I'm speaking theoretically. It would work out that way, theoretically.
Theoretically. When I hear from Rebbe what the psak is, then you can go do what you want.
You know what? You're not even losing Mahadra and Minamahadra according to the Rambam, because the ones you light inside are nothing.
I better not get a call hearing, how come all the guys are lighting outside, Anna? Get that call. In fact, I better call him and let him know I didn't say anything. I better head this problem off. All righty, guys.